Good evening to everyone. If you will, turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 25, and that's where the lesson will be taken from this evening. Just a few thoughts and reminders of some of the great lessons from the scriptures in regards to those who are mentioned and their example. And it's I'm always impressed and so thankful for the detailed situations that do occur, because you do learn a lot from them. And so this evening, just like to look at a few thoughts that are expressed in chapter 25. In chapter 25 of 1 Samuel, what you begin to read about is the death of Samuel has occurred. And I'm sure it really impacted a lot of folks, especially those who were very close to Samuel, had listened to the great things that he had said and the example that he had set in serving the Lord. And sometimes when things like that happen, we sort of lose our balance or our direction, and we have to gather ourselves, because such things are never easy. And this is what we see and are reading about in connection to Samuel, who was very influential in the kingdom, and then especially of Israel. And then in verses 2 and 3, what you begin to read about is the description of a man named Nabal. And the description of him, he is a businessman, and the Bible says that he's very rich. And it begins to give a description of the riches that he possesses, especially when you start numbering the amount of sheep that he has, 3,000. And then the goats are 1,000. And you can imagine the work that goes into doing that and the provisions that are made there in connection to the food, and then those things that are for sale, and being able to shear the sheep and getting money from the wool. So he had a very prosperous business. I'm sure if Jimbe had been here, he probably would have begun to salivate a little bit, especially when I mentioned about 1,000 goats. If you've ever gone to Brother Tumba's house where he had fixed goat, I tell you, it tastes very, very good. Especially the way that they make it there. So here you see Nabal, he has this. But one of the things about him that is stated in these verses, that he was a very harsh individual. He was stubborn. And the evil dealings that he engaged in, that was a description that was given of this man. And he was a Calebite as well, and from the family of Caleb here. But this description of being a harsh business person, a harsh person, and just evil in their business dealing. And he is married to Abigail. The thing about Abigail that is mentioned of her in the description is that she is an intelligent woman. I'm sure she probably had business savvy as well. But it describes her as being a very intelligent woman and beautiful in appearance. And then you drop down to verses 4 through 9, and we begin to read about David as he, since Samuel had died, he is headed to the Paran area, the wilderness there. And then he hears that Nabal is going to be in the area, in an area where he is shearing his sheep. And this presents an opportunity for David to resupply the men. And there is about 600 men that is traveling with David. That's a good number of men, warriors here, that is going through, that's in the area. And what they provided Nabal and that area, a man who was after God's own heart, as we've been studying and learning about, and a man that could be trusted, also who was appointed to become king of Israel when the time would come. And so what he does, since he hears about Nabal being in the area shearing the sheep, he sends 10 young men to speak on his behalf. And when you're looking at this conversation of what David expresses to these young men and what to say to Nabal when he gets there, and it's a very kind appeal that he makes. These are not harsh words. it's you can see how David is speaking just from a humble standpoint. And here are these young men taking this message. And what's impressive about these young men is when they speak to Nabal, the words of David and the kind things that they said in reference to the safety that was provided. And even there, David is saying, you know, peace to you, peace to your household, and basically prosperity to you. And just if you would, whatever your hand finds, that if you could just send some supplies back with these young men, be very thankful and appreciative of this. Well, these young men, when they expressed all of that, notice what they do. You know, sometimes the tendency is to take matters into your own hand. But I look at these young men that are sent to do this. They speak these kind words to Nabal, and they wait for his reply. They don't try to push him, and they don't try to say, you know, since David isn't around, and he said these nice things, and we number about 600, and we can come, and we can take everything or anything we want from. They don't do that. But they waited for Nabal's reply. And he does. And he replies harshly. That's what he does. He replies harshly. And he speaks, he doesn't appreciate what was done for him, nor does he care. It would be like, here they are, they have extended a, you know, just a kind hand and said kind words to Nabal. And all they're asking for, out of all the riches that you have, just a little bit to supply us with what we need so that we can continue to go on our journey and do what we had been doing before. And that is, we were providing safety to you and those around. But that reply was so harsh. And David, you know, when David sent those young men, he even pointed out, none of your people have ever been mistreated by us. We have never insulted you. We've never said any harsh words to them. But the reply of Nabal to David, who had done this for him, is harsh. And those young men came back and they reported that to David. David is furious. And you could begin to understand that a little bit with David being furious here. You know, I've extended a kindness to you. I have 600 men, and we are mighty warriors. And I didn't come and take anything. We just asked you for it. It would be sort of like, and I thought of a good example of Catherine and the girls traveling down. You know how you're traveling a good distance, and you get tired? And you say, you know, oh, so-and-so lives in this area. Maybe I could stop in and ask them if they could probably put us up for tonight. Or maybe just give us a meal so that we can be on our way. Because especially when you're traveling with young ones like that, you know, you can only travel but so long of a distance with them. And then you're getting tired. And, you know, maybe they would put us up for tonight. Maybe provide even some company. You can use, you know, company. And you've seen them before, and they probably even came to your house and you supplied them. And then when you asked for that, and they said, no, we don't even want to see you. Who do you think you are? We don't know you. Get out of here. How would you feel? If that happened, you know, the tendency would be, the pressure starts rising. I mean, wait a minute. I did good to them. And all of those just asked just for a little bit to help me go on my way. And they see that here I have these young ones and I'm traveling, and they won't even have mercy. When I extended that, you can start to see how David the temperature could rise with David. But David, I mean, he is furious. And I imagine if David was a teapot, he would be whistling after the report came to him of what Nabal had said. In fact, David was so furious, saddle up, 400 men, saddle up. 200 of you, you stay back. The 400 of us, we're going down and we're going to show who is boss. It doesn't matter how rich you are. You do not have enough to prevent us from taking what we want or need. And fortunately, there was a young man that goes to Abigail and reports to Abigail what had happened. And here's what was interesting about that. As they're telling Abigail about the situation, they describe how they were treated by David and his men. We lack nothing. We went and carried out our business. They were a wall of protection for us. We had nothing to worry about. It's like kids when they, you know, you put them in their car seat and you're putting them in the car and they're just so peaceful. And you look at them and I say, not a care in the world. Because their parents are looking after them, providing them with what they need. And this guy is telling Abigail about that. And he says, your husband, you know, we would tell him, but you know, he's a worthless individual. He's stubborn. He wouldn't listen. So if you would, Abigail, see what you can do to prevent this from happening. With David saddling up his men, and they are, and your master, your Lord, the Lord has insulted David. And so Abigail, in verses 23 to 31, expresses wisdom. She gets all the supplies of food and drink to take to them. Now David is coming down. They are on their way down. And they happen to meet Abigail as she's bringing the supplies up. And what Abigail does is where you begin to see the lesson come forth. And you think about her situation, and then you think about what she's doing now. What she is doing when she comes up to meet David, she is sort of like God is using her to soothe the savage beast here. Because of how furious David is of what Nabal has said. And she speaks wisdom to David. She recalls God's justice. And as she's saying these things to David, you can begin to see the whistling of the teapot anger that David has is beginning to settle. It's sort of like, what was that? That high whistle, and then it kind of calming down. And what you see then is David recognizes what Abigail has done. Abigail prevented him from being in a disastrous situation. And because of what she'd done, I titled the lesson this, Graciousness Under Fire. Now, why would I title it Graciousness Under Fire? Well, let's explore just a little bit of Abigail's situation. True, she is married to a rich man. But he's a harsh man. And not only is he a harsh man, Not only is he that, but he's also a man who practices evil dealings in what he was doing in his business. Practice. And when Abigail gets word, and you could tell the graciousness of her as she is even going to David to prevent David from coming down and destroying and wiping out and not a male left. You know what Abigail could have said? I'm sure he's going to kill the males. I'm a female. He might spare me. And my husband is rich. And if he kills him, all that money is mine. And besides that, I'll probably find me a nice man. One that will treat me well. And so let David go ahead and get rid of him. I mean, today, some of these channels of some of the, all kinds of series that are on, these murder series, and they get all kinds of creative titles. And I can't even think of any off the bat, but it's just amazing what that does to some families when they come into wealth like that. And they start scheming on how they can get rid of one or the other and have it all to themselves. But that's not how Abigail thought. Abigail thinks in a gracious mindset. In other words, she has a mindset of friendliness. She has a mindset of mercifulness. She has a mindset of forgiveness of the offenses committed against her. That's Abigail. It's describing graciousness. And her graciousness was under fire as she is married to Nabal. And here was an opportunity to get out of that, and she doesn't think that way. So her graciousness withstands the fire. How often do we allow situations to change our mode of thinking? Sometimes. And we have to be very careful because we end up justifying doing wrong. And it's a challenge. That's one of the weaknesses of human nature. But not Abigail. I'm sure she had her moments as well. But in the lesson here of what we're seeing of her graciousness under fire. And then, do I really have to then take the necessary steps of getting all this stuff together and then taking it up to David and his men? But that's not how she thought. That's Abigail. Graciousness is describing her, and she becomes the picture of that. And the words that she speaks to David is to bring sobriety to David's mindset in the midst of the anger. That is what graciousness is doing to him. In Colossians chapter 4, the passages that was read to us, conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. You see, David was failing in this. You see, David was going to avenge himself by his own might. That's what David was going to do. But Abigail speaks with grace. Speaks with wisdom. graciousness on the fire. Great example. So what we learn from Abigail in looking at this concerning graciousness under fire, what graciousness will do in spite of the surroundings and the situations, and as we think the way that we should, as we meet those challenges, what it will do is seek solutions. That's what she did. All it took was to take those things and supply those men, because they were supplying us protection. They were a wall around the individuals as they did their work. The laborer is worthy of his hire. And in this case, extending graciousness and gratitude to David and his men. That was the solution. It was not about harshness with her. It was not about vengeance. It's about grace. It was about the mindset that Jesus speaks of in Matthew chapter 5 when he said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." And that is peace with themselves, with God and them, and then with themselves and even with others, because the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4 verses 22 and 23, as he writes to Timothy, to Christians, an encouragement to Timothy as well as the lesson for us, he says, "You flee from youthful lust and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace." This is what Abigail pursued. With those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. And then he says, "But refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels." You see Abigail here. Great example for us. The second thing about Abigail, when you're looking at this, sometimes, you remember, David is furious. He is intoxicated with anger. Yeah, he's intoxicated with it. He has forgotten what it's all about, and he's about ready to avenge himself. So he's intoxicated with it, this anger. He is blowing, as we would say, he is blowing a fuse. But Abigail, her graciousness is under fire, and in spite of that, she speaks sober words. It is so hard to do that, isn't it? Have you ever been challenged that way, where you have been so angry and you just start saying all kinds of things? "Oh no, I've never done that, Albert. I won't admit that." Now, David is about to, but she speaks sober words. Her graciousness is on the fire. And it's passing through the fire. You see what's happening with her? As we're seeing her graciousness go under fire, that as it comes out on the other side, wow, we are impressed with that. That's what God does with us. When we submit ourselves to His will and we end up learning more about what He requires of us and speaking those things of God and thinking about those things of God, so that when we are under fire, we speak sober words. In Titus chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, says, "Likewise, urge the young men to be sensible in all things. Show yourself to be an example of good deeds, with purity and doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. You see, when you look back in 1 Samuel 25, after Abigail speaks those sobering words, notice what David says to her. He says some very powerful things in describing her. And as he points those things out in verse 32, he says, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me. And blessed be your discernment. And blessed be you who have kept me this day from bloodshed and from avenging myself by my own hand." This is what Titus 2 verses 6 through 8 is talking about. That's it. This is what Abigail, in her graciousness, did. Caused David to respond that way. And then this. With her graciousness under fire, and she does what she did in seeking the solution, speaking sober words, shows us that in spite of the harshness of her husband, in spite of the opportunity for her to be able to get rid of him by the hand of David, that's not what she trusts. She did not trust in those riches. She trusted in God. That's what she did. She trusted in God. And what a blessing as she spoke those things to David, reminding him of who he is and who's truly in charge. It is God. God appointed you. And when that happens, remember me. That's Abigail. In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 4 through 6, the Hebrew writer says, "Marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled, for fornicators and adulterers God will judge, and is make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for he himself has said, 'I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you,' so that we confidently say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me?'" These statements are said in the New Testament, but they ring true in the character of Abigail by her action, by her graciousness being under fire and coming through it. The God that she put her trust in did provide for her. For when her husband was eventually taken, she found herself in the place with David, the man she extended graciousness to. That is a great lesson for us in extending graciousness in spite of what we may face. There will be those who will not appreciate what we stand for. But our graciousness under fire, when we continue to teach the truth and live as we ought to, the Lord will be pleased, because we're demonstrating our trust in him. We're seeking solutions. And the solution to any man's ill is Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's continue to stand firm. Let's continue to let that light shine forth in spite of those not appreciating it. And it may be even in your own family. Let that light shine bright, because you never know what God will do in helping you and seeing you through the difficulties. My friend, if we can assist you in your obedience to Christ, we want to encourage you to come forth and let it be known that you want to become a child of God. We're here to help you. We're here to do that. We're here to encourage you. If you have fallen away and want to make things right, we'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. You just got to let us know. That's what we're about. And so if you need to put Christ on in baptism, all things are ready. If you need to make things right and you want us to pray for you, we're here with open arms to receive you. So if we can assist you in your obedience to Christ, we encourage you to come. Make it known as we stand and sing the song that was indicated.
Why can't Jesus wait?